T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good friend that's been here many a time, Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. You can find him at AshNBA on Twitter, at AshNBA on Twitter. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Are you in the bubble?
No. I'm still at home in my home office in the Chicagoland area. We're awaiting marching orders from the bosses down in Atlanta. In terms of how we're going to be deployed, I think the thinking is they're going to try to have us go in sort of a relay team with 2 to 3 week stints, and then pretty much like everybody else, watch games from our sofas and monitor and cover off the pre, post game, and off day teleconferences. So no, I'm not there yet. I assume I'll be down there at some point. It sounds like it would be sort of the second level rather than that embedding in the bubble. But if you're embedded in the bubble, you're talking a 3-month commitment. So, you know, that's a different ask.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier this morning. So the protocols they have to follow, living within that bubble, staying there. I guess my first question is, what is the likelihood that players just don't adhere to it?
I think they've even anticipated the potential for that with the 1-800 snitch line that's been installed that, you know, apparently players can call to report somebody breaching protocols. And they also have a pretty stringent re-bubbleizing yourself if you have strayed, if you've left the bubble, if you've gone to downtown Orlando or whatever it is. It sounds like you have to re-quarantine. You have to, you're going to be away from your games and the games you're not playing at that point, you won't get paid for. And then the third thing, and they say this rather ominously, you will be subjected to the more thorough, I think they call it, swab all the way up your nasal cavity test rather than a less invasive and less uncomfortable test. So it's like there's either going to be sort of a physical stick applied if for punishment if you stray and breach the bubble.
We're going up your nose and poking your brain if you come back out of the bubble.
That'd be enough to get my attention. I'll stay put. Thank you.
I have seen a couple of people do that recently, and that it just looks like it hurts. They like lean forward, and you see stars, and you just try to gain your senses for like 5 minutes after it's happened. So, I wouldn't want any part of that. Hey, Steve, we hear so much about guys. Some guys are going to opt out. Some guys are not. In Major League Baseball, Buster Posey just opted out and said, "Up, not going to do it." Are guys feeling pressure to be in this thing because, you know, their other teammates are doing it? You don't want to let your team down. Are guys feeling pressure? Or is this sense of, hey, we got a shot at possibly getting into the postseason and playing for rings here. This is the reason we're going.
I think you've got players scattered all along the spectrum. There are many who just want to play basketball. It's what they do. It's when they feel most normal, even if the circumstances aren't. And they want to get going and just sort of get that feeling back that they have some, you know, a little more control over their destinies. You have players that actually think, this is our chance, you know, to win a ring. I mean, LeBron wants to add a ring for his legacy, no doubt about it. The Lakers have as high hopes as they had when this season began. you know, he may have some teammates that feel pressure not to let him down. You know, the sort of normal bonding chemistry team pressures that go on, where it's sort of like, well, I have to uphold my end of things. And, you know, probably the Milwaukee Bucks roster has that as well, that this is our best chance. We're being stripped of home court advantage, which, you know, they figured to have over everybody. But, you know, they still think they can, and they want to figure out a way to get a championship. This franchise hasn't had one. Many of these players have never had one. There's a belief that if Giannis Antetokounmpo can get a ring with the Bucks, that would sort of let the air out of speculation next season about his future whereabouts. So there are reasons for them to feel that way. And certainly, if you're at the lower end, if you're with the Wizards or you're with the Brooklyn Nets, you know, the Sacramento Kings, sure. I mean, isn't it human nature to think like, well, what are we doing here? I'm back here. We're probably going to have 8 games and out. Will it have been worth it to quarantine for and practice for as much time as we're actually going to be playing games? So, you know, I think that you see all normal reactions that a lot of us in everyday life would have.
We talked a lot about Giannis, obviously, and the signing and, you know, the Supermax upcoming. I was reading today an article about the economics of the NBA, how things may change because of the pandemic, and maybe not for just this year, but for the upcoming season, maybe a season beyond that. What do you think changes in the contract structure of what the Supermax may look like and the likelihood of then Giannis signing it and staying in Milwaukee?
Well, I mean, that's still to be discussed by, you know, the league, the owners, and the players union eventually. I guess the options are essentially the salary cap sort of stays on a roller coaster and goes down proportionately to the basketball revenues. And if there's a big drop in that because of loss of fans in games and a drop in TV ratings, maybe, and, you know, whatever affects the basketball income, you know, if the salary cap goes down commensurately, it would be, you know, a big blow, and contracts could that, you know, contracts that are signed would be paid. That would be a blow to the teams. That would put them into some serious red ink potentially. But contracts to be signed would be based off a much lower salary cap and revenue number, because the players get, you know, about 51% of all the revenue. That's the partnership element. So if the owners take a hit, the players take a hit on new contracts, Giannis's new deal would be, you know, significantly less than the $253 million that has been out there based on the good conditions. But the gap between him and what any other team could pay, you know, between the Bucks offer to him and what any other team could pay him would still be rather large. I mean, it could be, instead of being $90 million different from what the Bucks could pay and what some competing team could pay, you know, it might be $70 or $80 million different. So relatively speaking, it would be, you know, still a big pot of money, and that would not necessarily hurt the Bucks. You know, I don't know what to make of it. I tend to think that Giannis's decision will be driven more by basketball considerations than by financial, but you can't sneeze at even a $70 million difference. I mean, that's – now, I don't want to be guilty of one thing that I've seen many in the media do in the past, and that's to describe the difference in money as apples to apples. It's a 5-year deal with the Bucks, so it's a difference in guaranteed money. A 4-year deal with an outside team, well, at Giannis's age, I think we can all, including himself, safely presume that when year 5 rolls around, I mean, you know, he won't be, you know, working down at the 7-Eleven. I mean, he'll right. Keep making NBA money on a new contract. So if you want to say, well, yeah, the 5 years with the Bucks versus the 4 years, that's a $70 million difference, and that's at least, you know, say $30 million different from what, you know, he'll end up after that fifth season is played with a under a new contract. You know, so the gap is not quite as large as those sheer dollars. But, you know, in terms of guarantee, in a league where injuries, you know, are not all that rare, to be able to salt that away, and know that it's going to be there, that still matters.
Talking with Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Hey, two things before I let you go. One is a historic hire. The first female G League general manager has been hired by the Atlanta Hawks. In today's day and age, in today's climate, how big of a move is this?
Well, I mean, I tend to think, let me put it this way. I think the first female head coach will be a bigger deal than an executive in an office. Mm-hmm. I just think the culture of pro sports, you know, that's when there's going to need to be, you know, a significant shift and, you know, a real open-mindedness, you know, that maybe many of these leagues are not there yet. For a general manager, that's good. I look at sports as one of the few remaining meritocracies we have left. If you're good, you get to play, you get to shine. And I would hope that it would extend to the coaching ranks and to the front office ranks. So if that team does well, that's great. If that team doesn't do well, you know, I don't know that it really matters, you know, gender, race, ethnicity, anything else. I think in sports, you want everybody to do well. You want it to be Lake Wobegon, where everybody's above average. But it's not how it shakes out a lot of times. So good for them for having that opportunity and letting it play out. I remember when Frank Robinson was hired as baseball's first black manager. And, you know, some people at the time said, and he might even have concurred, that that was great, but you won't really have sort of equality until there's the first black manager who's fired, and that things are just sort of normal. And mm-hmm. so I guess the more representatives, you got to get folks in these opportunities before you can get to that point. So I guess, you know, that's sort of where I stand on this.
Great stuff as always, Steve. I know we're up against the clock. I always appreciate it, and thanks for your time, and we'll talk more once, because they're hitting the courts now for practice. Once this season gets underway, yeah, I'm sure we'll talk again, okay?
You're welcome, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. That's Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been doing it. Call them. 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.